that someone else is going to do it.
Absolutely.
It's going to be up to every one of us to do it.
Yes.
And that's what people have to realize. And, you know, any person can go to their member of city council with a piece of legislation and say, hey, I heard the speaker about how we can create a safety net, a portable safety net for workers with multiple employers. I think we should introduce something here in Portland. And, you know, there are, you know, lawyers who are working on drafting legislation around this kind of thing right now. I've been in meetings with many of the businesses in Silicon Valley and members of Congress. And, you know, they're not this, even the businesses are realizing we have to do something. This is going to reach a point where, you know, the U.S. economy is driven 70% by consumer spending. If not enough people have enough money in their pockets to buy up the goods and services that are being produced by the businesses, even the businesses are going to suffer.
And this won't work. Well, Stephen, we are running out of time. I can't tell you what a pleasure it has been. I want to again remind our listeners that Stephen will be in town this coming Tuesday, December 8th at 7 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church. You can hear more about this. I also want to encourage everybody to get a copy of the book. And here's some new ideas and solutions. Support KABU and Stephen and all of these new concepts and ideas. The book is Raw Deal, How the Uber Economy and Runaway Capitalism Are Screwing the American Workers. Thank you so much for sharing your time, your effort, your energy, and the book with us, Stephen.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
Thank you so much. This is Michelle Schroeder Fletcher at KBOO 90.7 FM Portland.
KABU would like to thank the restaurants that have donated food for our volunteers today. Isabel Restaurant for providing breakfast located at 330 Northwest 10th Avenue, serving Latin flavors with Asian accents in Portland's Pearl District, using ingredients grown at their own Stargaze Farm in Sandy, Oregon. Bridges Cafe and Catering for providing lunch, located at 2716 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, committed to using local and organic ingredients, breakfast served every day, all day, and lunch on weekends. Dinner is from Marrakesh, located at 1201 Northwest 21st Avenue, open daily 5 to 10 p.m., with belly dancing Wednesday through Sunday, serving Moroccan cuisine since 1989.
This is KBOO Portland. It's 10:01 a.m. Stay tuned for Air Cascadia with your host, Chris Andre, followed by Flashpoints.
Morning, Cascadia. Today is Friday, December 4th, 2015, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, powered by you, the community. This is your community radio at 90.7 FM and KBOO.FM on the web. Today, we have Tim Barnett. He is a research marine physicist at the Scripps Institute of Oceanography. He'll be joining us to talk about the effects of climate change and on the oceans, and indeed the effect of oceans, what we've done to our oceans. Are we killing our oceans? Stay tuned. And Sam Husseini with the Institute for Public Accuracy also joins us to talk about the corporatization of pretty much everything that's going on right now. He'll be talking about, he recently wrote a piece, From Planned Parenthood to Madrid, What Can Paris, London, and Washington Learn? The left and right must stop the establishment's perpetual war machine. So he'll be talking about ritualistic denouncements of violence, which, of course, we are being inundated with right now. And a reminder, think about it. The Pope says we got to stop destroying the planet. Coco the gorilla says signs that we have to stop destroying the planet. If you have a Pope and a gorilla warning you,
you know something's wrong and it's time to straighten up and fly right. That said, we have Tim Barnett on the line. We're going to talk a little bit about oceans and the warming of the planet. Good morning, Tim. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning.
Well, we know, though I think most people are in denial about it, that the oceans are changing far more rapidly than we thought that they would. It's not just that they're rising, but it's that we have problems with acidification. We've got all kinds of algae blooms, many of them toxic, that we haven't seen before. Can you talk a little bit about how the oceans are changing in response to what we've done with the climate? And how
they're changing in many of the ways that you mentioned there. I think people tend to concentrate on the sea surface temperature and argue about that, what's happening with that. But if you look, the warming signal has penetrated in the Atlantic Ocean down to 800 meters depth. And most of the rest of the oceans have, the warming has penetrated to at least 100 meters, if not more. And these are statements based on millions and millions of data points. So, and nobody really argues with them. The one that scares me the most is the acidification of the ocean. Depending on who you listen to, 2030, 2040, we get the ocean acidic enough that it will start killing off some of the major forms of plankton. And, you know, those are the building blocks of the food web and for the planet, actually. So, you know, we've got a lot of tough times ahead of us, and the warming is not a Republican or Democratic issue. It's we the people. And some people wonder, can we get the planet so far out of kilter that we're into another realization or another climate state? And if we did do that, well then, golly, would civilization as we know it now continue? This is serious stuff. And unfortunately, most of it falls on our kids or grandkids. So we behooves us to get started now.
So carbon in the atmosphere is affecting the oceans too in ways that people, it's so easy to ignore these things because people don't see it. They don't experience it right now directly. And it's happening in such a different world. But the warming, the carbon that the ocean is absorbing, that must have an effect. What happens when the ocean absorbs large quantities of carbon in the atmosphere?
It becomes more acidic. That's the point here.
Yes.
And there's no other explanation for the increasing acidity aside from increased CO2, and that's us. So, you know, it's very frustrating, and particularly when you listen to the talks and people mumbling about this and that, they're ignoring the oceans, largely. But the ocean is sort of the flywheel. It keeps the planetary climate system on a known track. And what we're trying to do is push it off that track. And I'm afraid that the politicians in Paris are not don't have their heads quite screwed on right when it comes to the ocean, because they fail to ignore the impacts there.
Thank you so much for that. Sorry we don't have more time. I'd like to talk a great deal more about this, but it turns out that we do actually have a little bit more time. It is frustrating. It is very frustrating for people who are not in touch with it every day on a daily basis, as you are. Is there anything that you would like people to learn from what you're doing, from the work that you're doing?
Well, the first thing to do is start voting into office reasonable politicians. They politicized the whole warming issue, and that's part of the problem that we have now. As I said, you know, the warming's not due to Republicans or Democrats, it's all of us, and so it's going to take all of us to fix it. I don't know what's going to happen here, very frankly. The way that things are going, I'm a little bit pessimistic. I mean, you see the statements that come out of Paris, if those are really turn out to be valid, then I think we've got in trouble. And the thing is, now we're at what people call a tipping point, or past it. Once you go past this, then sort of what's going to happen next is inevitable. And we're beyond or at tipping points in a number of areas in the planet. and we frankly just don't have much time. We just got to get it together here. Hopefully we'll be able to do that. And I think the reason people don't associate, because thinking of a global scale is huge. When I give talks to people, we talk about what's going to happen to them in their part of the world. And, oh, boy, that gets people's attention right away. So I think people, if they can spend a little time, think about it and see if the globe does warm up and the ocean gets more acidic and the rest of that, what is that going to do to you and your way of life? Are you going to have to get bicycles and go to work, forget cars? I mean, there are all sorts of crazy things there.
That's basically what people, the point that people are missing, and that is critical. It's literally a life and death issue at this point. Again, Tim, thank you so much for talking with us. This is an eye-opener. This is indeed a wake-up call. Thank you once again. Tim Burnett is a research marine physicist with the Scripps Institute of Oceanography. We go now to Sam Husseini with the Institute for Public Accuracy. Good morning, Sam. Thanks for being with us today. And it seems that we have lost him again. Sam is a communications director at the Institute for Public Accuracy, and he recently wrote these pieces which I mentioned in the introduction, from Planned Parenthood to Madrid, What Could Paris, London, and Washington Learn? Also, The Left and Right Must Stop the Establishment's Perpetual War Machine. The point that he makes, and that is critical too, is this is regarding the recent instances of violence that we've seen in this country, which of course horrifies people, happens on a daily basis in other countries, and the American public in general doesn't seem to be as concerned with that. But what he does say is that The type of violence, that's wholesale terrorism, so rarely invoked in progressive, to say nothing of mainstream discussions of terrorism, even as many note hypocrisies like Christian and Muslim suspects being treated completely differently. It's a huge oversight. It obscures all discussions of terrorism as the elephant, and indeed the elephant in the room of the U.S. government. Violence is not meaningfully discussed. We are conducting a reign of terror in other parts of the world that never enters into discussion. That if that isn't terrorism, then what indeed do we have to call it? He points out, too, that when the endless media discussions of police have not identified a motive for the shooting, they have not ruled out terrorism. That's the quote we hear again and again. But terrorism isn't a motive. It's a tactic to pursue a political motive or goal. That's the point that we fail to take into account. Also, the word radicalized should not be demonized, because radicalized can and should mean to gain a greater political understanding, to see root causes of problems. It's antithetical to someone who decides meaningful solutions lay in slaughtering 14 civilians. That's not it. Restrictions on information often seem designed to make officialdom look or seem to be prescient, or at least to have that effect. You know, the name of one of the suspects, Syed Farouk, was mentioned some 7 hours before it was made public by officialdom, so it's already known. The other thing, too, just want to point out, Greg Walden has released a proposal to resolve disputes on the Klamath Basin. Not a good thing. And here is a good thing, though. Don Blankenship was convicted for the deaths of the 29 miners in the Upper Big Branch mine. Yep, that was how the news yesterday came in, that conviction just came down.
Thanks so much, Chris.
Cascadia. We go now to Membership Central. And Jenka is there, and I believe Justin Miller is there. Wow, two heavy hitters.
We're both here, and we're trying to raise $250 in the next few minutes, and I know we can do it with our listeners' support, because listeners who tune in to Air Cascadia know this hard-hitting news and analysis happens on a daily basis only with your support. We heard about the acidification of oceans, and I urge you to call at the $75 level, $625 a month, and you can actually have a tree planted in your name and do that carbon offset that way. 877-500-5266. If we could have one person giving the $20 a month and picking up the KBOO hoodie, and maybe one person giving that $10 KBOO youth membership for those under 21. We can get that $250. 877-500-KBOO.
Air Cascadia, the nation's nimblest newscast. That's what we're asking you to support right now. I just made that up. I'm feeling a little chuffed. Why don't you call 877-500-5266. Chris Andre comes in on her own time and her own dime, 5 days a week, sometimes more, in order to make the nation's nimblest newscast. Please show a little support. If that's pennies, nickels, and dimes, if it's thousands of dollars, what we really would like to do is to meet you. We'd like to have you introduce yourself. The amount isn't the question. You can give us a little, you can give us a lot, but add your name to the good book. Say thank you to these tireless volunteers. We have a fleet of thousands of volunteers over these years who have become your ambassadors, your diplomats, your experts in this radio university. Call right now and get counted. 877-500-5266.
You know, you talk about meeting us. You can come down to the station and see what we're all about. We're at 20 Southeast 8th. You can see our palatial headquarters with the penthouse on the top floor. No.
Pool parties.
Pretty humble operation here. And you can see how it all comes together, and we'll give you a tour, and you can meet all the people who are on the air and be a part of this community station. 877-500-KBOO, or stop by 20 Southeast 8th.
And you know what else, Jenka? That hoodie is dope.
That's from the quote from Mike Crenshaw, our station co-manager. That is absolutely true. And you can wear it around town and be a part of the hoodie club.
877-500-KBOO.
That is the number to call. Sorry, I think I cut off Justin there. 877-500-5266 to support KBOO Portland. And right now, we're bringing you a regional report. Our siblings in struggle, some regional solidarity, and flashpoints from our good friends at KPFA in Berkeley.
Today on Flashpoints, the police killing fields of Chi-Town. We take an in-depth look at the on-camera police murder